Michael, so do you agree with this, that cyclists should have the overall priority on the roads?
Well, it seems to work in places like Holland. And I think with the Europeans, they've already, part of their architectural infrastructure includes the bicycle. The problem is what we're dealing with is a car-centric attitude. So the old values towards the bicycle is if you're on a bicycle, you can't afford a car, so you don't deserve the respect that goes with it. But more and more people are dying because of the car taking priority. So I think there should be a rethink. When and you, if you consider also that the highway code was put in place such a long time ago, that things have changed quite a lot. The bicycle is back and is part of mainstream transport. So it has to be, people have to be looked after. Because our airbags don't detonate when we get hit by a car. We tend to get badly injured or die.
Yeah, and we've had some really, really shocking and really tragic cases of cyclists dying on the road. Some of the other recommendations: the highway code should be revised, the driving test should be changed to help improve driver behaviour towards cyclists. What did you find when you were doing your series around Northern Ireland? What did you generally find was the attitude of drivers, and what do you find? Do you cycle much in London?
I cycle every day in London if I can. I used to be a courier. What I tend to do, we're blessed in London in the sense of that it's been a big city. If you know your way around, you can stay on the back streets and not have to engage in the big superhighways, which are forcing lots of cyclists onto the main roads, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time. Then you're having to deal with the attitudes of cyclists as well as motorists. But in Belfast, it seemed that half-hearted. Some of the cycling infrastructure in Belfast, it seemed to do well and then stop halfway as you were cycling along, the cycle lane would stop, forcing people onto potholed roads. And Belfast also seems to have a lot of, it seems to be bottlenecking as far as the traffic's concerned. So yet again, if people are negotiating to try and get a gap or to try and do a turn and have been sitting in traffic for 20 minutes, they see a gap, they're going to jump and they don't look to see the cyclist. So I think stuff like that, or, you know, cars parking in the bike lanes and things like that, I've seen a lot of in Belfast. When you go into the countryside, of course, like anywhere else, you've got the boy racers. People get into the countryside, they don't want to, you know, get out there, be souped up Vauxhall Novas or whatnot. So that can be a bit of a problem too for the cyclist. Mm. You know, one of the big things I've noticed that is we're missing in Northern Ireland, we're missing an opportunity here, is with these disused railway lines. You know, NI Greenways has been pointing that out for a long time. You know, Dr. Beeching, you know, stripped away a lot of the train lines in Northern Ireland, as we did with the rest of England and Scotland and Wales as well. And what you've been actually left with is these quiet lanes that can be, these quiet pathways that can be turned into cycle lanes for families. And then we wouldn't have to fight cheek and jowl angry commuters.
I mean, I want to bring Tina in, but I just wonder, Michael, is that the answer then, actually? It's actually getting cyclists off the roads and onto an alternative, onto bike lanes, onto, you know, cycle paths where possible.
Well, yes, where possible. I don't think it's an either or. I think it's an also. You know, I think we're not, you don't have to take one from column B and one from column C. You can have both, you know, and where it's, where the road infrastructure would lend itself to a safe bike lane, then so be it. And if there isn't, then, you know, maybe we can then have a better infrastructure where they're showing cyclists an alternative. So you can, you know, the Cumber Greenway being a perfect example. You know, there was somebody was telling me the last time I was over, I was sitting in and having talks with pressure groups and stuff, and they were saying, you know, within the next couple of years, if the right funding is there and the right money's there, you could get on your bike with your family at Lisburn and not get off your bike and not hit a main road, and you can get all the way out to Connemara. You know, that's amazing. Using disused railway lines, using canal towpaths, using, you know, bridleways, you know, those sort of things, you know.
Okay.
That are, we need to encourage families as well. And we need, you know, Northern Ireland has, you know, has a beautiful countryside, and the bicycle is perfectly made for it. But, you know, it's not always going to be compatible with the motor car. So the motorist needs to be re-educated.
Okay, Tina, do you agree?
I don't disagree in sentiment with everything that Michael's saying. It's all very wonderful in an ideal, you know, an ideal world, but the reality is that we do live in a predominantly, you know, vehicle-heavy traffic city. We haven't quite embraced the bicycle yet. We are getting there, and I actually think that we've come great strides, you know, in putting that infrastructure in place. And maybe it's not what Michael is used to in London. That's fair enough. It's a much more progressed city when it comes to that. But I think we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, it's not necessarily a safety issue, because if it was a safety issue, then the motorcyclists and the scooters and whatnot would also be an issue. And if it was really about safety, well, I'd rather they were prioritising cars that had children in them rather than, you know, grown adults on bikes. But I mean, that's just a bit frivolous, that.
What?
You know, I think that
what
we've got to the stage where, you know, we can't sit down and say that the minority of cyclists need to have this majority of funding or whatever. I mean, I think those railway tracks need to come back, not as cycle lanes, but as railway. Over 200 miles were ripped out of Northern Ireland, and we see it terribly. I mean, my son, for example, loves going on the train, gets very sick on the bus, and there's only certain places we can take him. He's only 4 years old. We'd love to be able to go cycling with him, but the reality is it's not possible for us as a family, and there's various reasons. I have a health reason why that's not possible, but I think that I love the idea of us trying to be more accommodating to cyclists, but in reality I think, you know, there's going to be 52 people sitting on a bus, you know, waiting for one cyclist to drive past.
Oh, that's just,
you know,
a terrible, terrible statement to make there.
But Michael, is there
that
not
is
a point
so
in that, though, when it comes
that was
to
the most patronising
statement
I've heard?
I'm
ridiculous.
Glad you like it.
It was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
But Michael, does she not have a point there, particularly about people getting to work in the morning rush hour on the way?
It's not the cyclist's fault that there's traffic jams in Northern Ireland or in Belfast. And it's never going to be the bike's fault.
It's not the driver's fault either.
It's not the driver's fault either, no. But if you're not going to create cycle lanes for people now, the bicycle is on, people, more and more people are taking to the bicycle for health reasons. And for also because they can't afford to have the cars because of the insurance in Northern Ireland as well. Now, if you're charging people a hell of a lot for insurance and road tax, and it's not being reflected in the infrastructure around you, that's not the cyclist's fault.
Oh, do cyclists pay road tax?
Yes, cyclists also are car owners and also are house owners.
No, but if I have a bike and I don't have a car, do I have to pay road tax?
Are you being provocative with me?
No, I'm just asking the question. I genuinely don't know.
I've never driven a bicycle
on the road.
No, cyclists don't have to pay road tax.
And you don't drive a bicycle.
Okay, so if you're not paying for road tax, but you still want the same.
No, you were being provocative there. You were being provocative. You were being a bit snidey. So I'm not really interested in talking to you like that. We're talking about trying to help and save people's lives, not trying to score points on the radio in the middle of the afternoon. Okay.
Well, I
so
think
what I'm talking
motorcyclists
about is not,
should be considered as well
Why don't you design a contraflow system for motorcycles as well?
So we need one for cyclists, one for motorcyclists, one
for
buses.
And one for you with a Nubian litter so we can carry you around and cast rose petals in front of you if you're going to be patronising.
No,
the truth of the matter is people are dying. People are dying here. Genuinely going out to cycle, to ride a bicycle and to get to work and to go about their business, and they're getting crushed to death.
And motorcyclists are also dying on the road.
Why are you talking like this?
But because it's a genuine concern. If we're talking about a single person on a single vehicle.
One at a time, Michael.
Your genuine concern seems to be to try and win this argument. It doesn't seem to you.
The first thing I said was that I actually didn't disagree with you.
You've turned around and said that there should be more trains. Yes, well, we should all be on hovercrafts by this time as well, shouldn't it?
I mean, we ripped out 200 miles of infrastructure in trains, and it hasn't been put back. And actually, Northern Ireland does need it. The fact of the matter
is, when has it not been put back?
But it hasn't.
When was it done? When did Dr. Beechin come around and do it?
But everybody knows there was over 200 miles worth
of
train track taken out of Northern Ireland.
I think the point Tina is making is that if we had that train infrastructure back in place, then we wouldn't have as many cars on the roads, because that's the big dependency on cars.
Where pots and pans have been, no need for tinkers. At the end of the day, right, there is swathes of land that can be very easily changed for people to actually use